$1 trillion. That's how much has been wiped from software stocks since an AI company released 11 plugins last month. The SaaSpocalypse isn't slowing down, and today we're going to talk about why the markets think your favorite enterprise software might be obsolete. Welcome to AI Pulse for Thursday, February 19th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your analyst.
We've got a packed show today. The SaaS sell-off just hit a staggering new number, and the market is sending a very clear signal about the future of software. OpenAI and Tata just announced a deal that could put a gigawatt of AI data center capacity in India. Microsoft's Copilot was caught reading confidential emails it was explicitly told not to touch. Google just put AI music generation into Gemini for everyone. Mistral makes its first acquisition and starts building a European AI stack from the ground up. The global memory chip crisis has a new name, and it's not pretty. And OpenAI hires the creator of the most viral AI repo of the year. Let's get into it. Marcus, we've been tracking the SaaS sell-off since Anthropic dropped those Claude Cowork plugins back on January 30th. On Monday, we reported Atlassian down 35% in a week. But the latest number from JP Morgan is jaw-dropping. $2 trillion in combined software market cap, gone.
$2 trillion. To put that in perspective, that's roughly the GDP of Italy. This isn't a correction anymore, Kate. This is a structural repricing of an entire industry. Forward earnings multiples for the software sector collapsed from an average of 39 times to 21 times. That's nearly half. And it happened in under 3 weeks.
Walk me through the logic. Why are investors this spooked?
The core thesis is simple but devastating. Enterprise software has been priced on a per-seat licensing model for two decades. You pay per user, per month. Salesforce charges per sales rep. Atlassian charges per developer. ServiceNow charges per IT employee. The entire valuation framework assumes that as companies grow and hire more people, they buy more seats. But if an AI agent can do the work of multiple human seats, the math breaks.
So, it's not that these companies are bad, it's that the business model itself is under threat.
Exactly. ServiceNow, Salesforce, HubSpot, Atlassian, DocuSign, Workday, Adobe, they're all down significantly. And the trigger was specific. Anthropic released 11 open-source specialized plugins for Claude Cowork that handle legal document discovery, tax accounting, automated sales prospecting. These aren't demos. They're functional tools that enterprises can deploy today. When investors saw that, they started asking a very uncomfortable question. If an AI agent costs a fraction of a human seat and can do 80% of the job, what happens to recurring revenue?
Is the sell-off rational, or is this panic?
That's the $2 trillion question. Bears will tell you the per-seat model is genuinely dying, and these stocks are still overvalued. Bulls will tell you that enterprise software is deeply embedded, that switching costs are enormous, and that AI agents will augment rather than replace these tools. The truth is probably somewhere in between. The companies that integrate AI agents into their platforms, that pivot from selling seats to selling outcomes, will survive and maybe thrive. The ones that try to defend the old model will get steamrolled.
You said something interesting there. Selling outcomes instead of seats. What does that look like?
Imagine instead of paying Salesforce $20 per rep per month, you pay based on deals closed or pipeline generated. Instead of paying Atlassian per developer, you pay per project delivered. The AI agent becomes the delivery mechanism, and the vendor charges for results rather than access. It's a fundamentally different business, and it requires fundamentally different economics. Some companies will make that transition.
And we should note this comes on the heels of OpenAI launching Frontier, their enterprise agent platform, just this week. So it's not just Anthropic applying pressure.
Every major AI company is converging on the same target. OpenAI with Frontier, Anthropic with Cowork, Google with Gemini Enterprise. They're all building agent platforms that can handle workflows that previously required specialized SaaS tools. The SaaS companies aren't facing one competitor. They're facing an entire paradigm shift.
Let's move to India, because the AI Impact Summit we've been covering all week just produced another major announcement. OpenAI and Tata Group are partnering on what could become one of the world's largest AI data center deployments. Marcus, give us the details.
OpenAI becomes the first customer of Tata's data center business, starting with 100 megawatts of capacity in India, with plans to scale to a full gigawatt. To put that in context, a gigawatt is roughly the power output of a nuclear reactor. That's an enormous amount of computing infrastructure.
And this was announced today at the summit with Modi, Altman, Pichai, and even Macron in attendance.
Yes, the India AI Summit has become a genuinely significant geopolitical event. But the Tata deal goes beyond just data centers. TCS, Tata Consultancy Services, plans to roll out ChatGPT Enterprise to hundreds of thousands of employees. That would make it one of the largest enterprise AI deployments globally. And OpenAI announced new offices in Mumbai and Bengaluru, plus the reveal that India now has over 100 million weekly ChatGPT users.
100 million weekly users. We reported 72 million daily users earlier this week. Those are massive numbers.
India is OpenAI's fastest-growing major market. And when you combine that user base with the infrastructure investment, the enterprise partnership with TCS, and the new offices, this is OpenAI making a long-term bet on India as a core market, not a secondary one.
There was also a separate announcement about a huge GPU cluster. What's that about?
Yotta Data Services announced a $2 billion investment to build one of Asia's largest AI superclusters. Over 20,000 NVIDIA Blackwell Ultra GPUs, expected to be operational by August 2026. Between that and the Tata deal, India is rapidly building out the physical infrastructure for AI at a scale that will matter globally.
As we discussed Monday, India wants to be a builder, not just a consumer. This looks like proof of that.
It is. And the geopolitical dimension matters too. With U.S. export controls reshaping chip supply chains, and China building its own parallel hardware ecosystem, India offers something valuable. A large, growing market with strong technical talent and a government actively courting AI investment. For OpenAI, having significant infrastructure in India is also a hedge against overconcentration in the U.S.
All right, Marcus. This next one is a security story, and it's exactly the kind of thing that makes enterprise CISOs break out in a cold sweat. Microsoft confirmed that a bug in Copilot was reading and summarizing emails that had been marked confidential, emails that were supposed to be protected by data loss prevention policies.
This is a significant incident. The bug, tracked as CW12263024, caused Microsoft 365 Copilot chat to process draft and sent emails in Outlook that had confidential DLP labels applied. These labels exist specifically to prevent sensitive information from being shared, accessed, or processed outside of authorized channels. Copilot was supposed to respect those boundaries. It didn't.
How long was this happening?
Customers first reported the issue on January 21st. Microsoft took weeks to confirm it was a real bug and not user error. A fix started rolling out earlier in February. So we're looking at a window of at least several weeks where confidential emails could have been ingested by Copilot. Microsoft hasn't disclosed how many customers were affected.
This feels like a fundamental trust issue, Marcus. Companies adopt these DLP policies specifically because they have emails they need to protect. Legal communications, HR matters, financial results before they're public. If the AI can just read through those protections?
That's exactly the problem. The entire value proposition of enterprise AI copilots depends on them respecting the existing security and governance frameworks that organizations have spent years building. DLP labels aren't suggestions. They're policy controls that carry legal and regulatory weight. A healthcare company marking emails with patient information as confidential is doing so because HIPAA requires it. A financial firm doing the same is doing so because SEC regulations demand it. When the AI ignores those labels, even accidentally, it's not just a bug. It's a compliance violation.
And this comes right after we covered OpenAI introducing lockdown mode for exactly these kinds of concerns.
The timing is almost poetic. OpenAI releases lockdown mode to prevent AI from accessing content it shouldn't. And days later, Microsoft confirms their Copilot was doing precisely that. It validates the concern that drove lockdown mode's development in the first place. These AI systems are being given deep access to organizational data, and the boundary enforcement mechanisms aren't bulletproof yet.
What's the lesson here for enterprises deploying AI copilots?
Verify. Don't trust. Audit what your AI tools are actually accessing, not just what they're supposed to access, and build monitoring specifically around your most sensitive data classifications. The AI companies are moving fast, and the security controls are trying to keep up. Gaps like this one are inevitable. The question is whether you catch them in days or in months.
Let's shift to something more fun. Google just put AI music generation into the Gemini app for everyone. Marcus, what happened?
Google integrated DeepMind's Lyria 3 model directly into Gemini. You can now generate 30-second music tracks with vocals, lyrics, and cover art from a text prompt. Or you can upload a photo or video, and the AI will create music that matches the mood. Style, vocals, tempo, all controllable by the user.
So I could say, give me an upbeat indie rock track about Thursday mornings, and it would just make that?
With vocals and lyrics, yes. And unlike earlier versions, the lyrics are now auto-generated, rather than requiring you to write them. The feature is rolling out globally to all Gemini users 18 and older, in 8 languages, and everything it produces carries a SynthID watermark, so you can verify it was AI generated.
This is a big deal for content creators, right? Think about all the YouTubers and TikTokers who need background music.
It's a massive shift. Previously, content creators had to either license music, which costs money, use royalty-free libraries, which everyone else is also using, or risk copyright strikes. Now they can generate unique tracks tailored to their specific content. Lyria 3 is also powering YouTube's Dream Track feature for creators. Google is building an end-to-end creative pipeline here.
And the 30-second cap? Is that a technical limitation or a strategic choice?
Strategic. 30 seconds is long enough for social media clips, YouTube intros, podcast transitions, but short enough to avoid directly competing with the music industry. Google is walking a careful line. They want the creative utility without triggering the same kind of backlash that AI image generators faced from visual artists. The SynthID watermarking is part of that same calculus, establishing provenance so AI music can't be passed off as human-made.
The music industry is going to have opinions about this regardless.
Oh, absolutely. But Google made this available to every Gemini user globally, not tucked away in a research lab. That's a statement. AI-generated music just went from a novelty to a mainstream feature embedded in one of the world's most widely used AI apps.
Sticking with European news, Mistral AI just made its first ever acquisition. They bought a Paris-based startup called Koyeb. Marcus, what's the strategy here?
Mistral is going vertical. Koyeb is a serverless deployment platform, 13 employees, 3 co-founders, all joining Mistral's engineering team. The acquisition accelerates Mistral Compute, which is Mistral's AI cloud infrastructure offering. And this comes days after Mistral announced a $1.4 billion investment in Swedish data centers.
So, Mistral is building models and the infrastructure to run them.
That's the play. They want to be a European full-stack AI alternative. Models, compute, deployment, all from a European company, subject to European regulation, running on European infrastructure. In the context of growing European concerns about sovereignty and dependence on American cloud providers, this is a significant strategic move.
How competitive is Mistral with the American and Chinese labs at this point?
Their models are strong, particularly for European languages and enterprise use cases. They're not matching Opus or GPT-5 at the absolute frontier, but they're competitive enough that a European bank or government agency that wants to keep data within European jurisdiction has a credible option. And that's exactly the market Mistral is targeting. They don't need to be the best model in the world. They need to be the best model you can run in Europe, on European terms.
The European champion narrative is a powerful one.
It is, and Mistral has the credentials to back it up. Founded by former DeepMind and Meta researchers, backed by major European investors, and now building the physical infrastructure to match the ambition. If any European company is going to challenge the US-China duopoly in AI, it's Mistral.
Marcus, we've been covering the memory chip situation all week, and it just keeps getting worse. There's now an unofficial name for it, Ramageddon.
Ramageddon. And unfortunately, the name fits. DRAM prices surged 80 to 90% in Q1 2026 alone. One category of DRAM jumped 75% in a single month. The cause is the same as what we've been reporting. Hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Meta, Amazon are consuming enormous quantities of high-bandwidth memory for AI training and inference. Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron have shifted production toward HBM and away from consumer-grade chips.
And we explained the mechanics of this earlier in the week. HBM uses 4 times the silicon per gigabyte compared to regular DRAM. So every gigabyte of AI memory means 4 fewer gigabytes for everyone else.
Exactly. And the downstream effects are now hitting hard. Tesla, Apple, and over a dozen other companies have warned that the shortage will constrain production. DRAM could soon account for 30% of the cost of a low-end smartphone, up from 10% in early 2025. That's a tripling of the memory cost component.
Is there any relief in sight?
Not in the near term. We covered this Tuesday. New fabrication capacity takes 2 to 3 years to build. And the manufacturers are prioritizing HBM because the margins are better. The Intel SoftBank XAM architecture could help eventually, but that's still early stage. For the next 12 to 18 months, this is the reality. AI infrastructure demand is creating scarcity across the entire memory supply chain.
You called it an AI tax on Tuesday. Consumers paying more for their devices, whether they use AI or not.
And that tax is going up. The irony is that the AI companies whose products are supposed to make everything cheaper and more efficient are, through their infrastructure demands, making the physical devices we use more expensive. There's a material cost to the AI revolution, and it's showing up in your next phone bill.
Last story. We've been following OpenClaw all week, the open-source personal AI agent that hit nearly 200,000 GitHub stars. As we reported Tuesday, its creator Peter Steinberger got hired by OpenAI. But Marcus, there's more to this story now.
Fortune ran an analysis on what this hire signals about OpenAI's strategic direction. OpenClaw now has 198,000 GitHub stars, making it one of the fastest-growing open-source projects ever. And what it demonstrated is that there's massive consumer demand for AI agents that actually do things. Not chatbots, agents. Agents that manage your calendar, book flights, order food, handle email, all through messaging apps like WhatsApp, Telegram, Signal, and iMessage.
And Steinberger was reportedly spending $10,000 to $20,000 a month of his own money running the project.
Which tells you both how popular it was and how unsustainable the model was as a solo operation. Joining OpenAI gives him the resources to scale the vision. The OpenClaw project itself will transition to an independent foundation, and OpenAI is sponsoring it. So, the open source project continues, but the creator's expertise now informs OpenAI's agent strategy.
This connects to Frontier, the enterprise agent platform OpenAI launched this week.
It does. OpenAI is clearly building an agent ecosystem. Frontier for enterprises, and now bringing in the person who proved consumer AI agents can work at scale. The vision is AI that doesn't just answer questions, but actually takes actions on your behalf. And that's a much bigger market than chatbots.
Though, the security concerns we've been flagging all week are still relevant. On Wednesday, we covered the first documented case of InfoStealer malware targeting AI agent credentials from OpenClaw specifically.
The vulnerability is still unpatched. And as these agents get more capable and more widely adopted, they become higher value targets. Steinberger moving to OpenAI might actually help on this front. Having the project's creator inside a major AI company with a dedicated security team could accelerate the kind of security hardening that the open source community has struggled to prioritize.
All right, Marcus, big picture Thursday. What's the thread?
The thread today is speed of disruption. Every story we covered is about something moving faster than the systems around it can handle. The SaaS market is repricing faster than software companies can adapt their business models. AI infrastructure is scaling faster than the memory supply chain can feed it. AI copilots are being deployed faster than the security controls can contain them. Music generation went from research demo to mainstream feature in what feels like a blink.
And the open source ecosystem is moving so fast that a weekend project becomes a 200,000-star phenomenon before anyone can patch the security holes.
That's the pattern. The AI industry's clock speed is fundamentally mismatched with everything around it. Markets, supply chains, security, regulation, they all operate on different timescales. And what we're seeing this week is the friction that creates. $2 trillion in market value vanishing because investors are pricing in a future that hasn't arrived yet. Memory chips going into crisis because demand curves bent faster than factories could be built. Confidential emails exposed because governance policies couldn't keep up with AI integration.
So what's the takeaway? Slow down?
Nobody's slowing down, Kate. The competitive pressure is too intense. 7 frontier models in February. Gigawatt data center deals. $1 billion acquisitions. The pace is set, and it's only accelerating. The takeaway is that the people building the guardrails, the security teams, the regulators, the infrastructure planners, they need to move at AI speed too. And right now, they're not. That gap between capability and governance is the defining tension of 2026.
The technology isn't waiting for anyone to catch up.
It never does.
That's your AI Pulse for Thursday, February 19th, 2026.